Well, it's time now to join Will for our question of the week, which is sponsored by Clam XAV, the anti-malware software that protects your Mac without compromising its performance. It's been tried and tested by us, and Clam XAV provides top quality malware and virus protection for your Mac that definitely won't slow the computer down. And even better, listeners to The Naked Scientist can get 20% off in their first year with the code NAKED20. To do that, you go to clamxav/naked and use the discount code NAKED20 to protect your Mac today. Now, over to Will.
Thanks, Chris. This week, we're taking on this head-scratcher from listener David.
I suffer from post-viral chronic pain and fatigue and often joke that I need a body transplant. Is it possible to keep a head alive and fully functioning? I'd love to know the answer, but not really keen on being the first one to go a transplant.
Thank you to David. I'm not sure I'd want to be the first one to give it a go either. But is it feasible? Could we transfer our head to a different body? Adam Taylor, Professor of Anatomy at Lancaster University, is on hand to help us out.
And that's an amazing question and one that we're really working towards from a scientific perspective. I think one of the biggest challenges with any transplantation is the issue of immune rejection. So where the person who's receiving the organ recognizes that actually this tissue that's being transplanted into the body doesn't belong to them. Actually, we can now manage that very well with medicine. So we can give anti-rejection drugs, which dampen down the immune response of the recipient so that it enables that organ that they've received to function without the body attacking it.
Thanks to immunosuppressants, transplants of organs have been going on successfully for decades. Kidneys, livers, and even hearts and lungs.
But when we look at the head as a whole, that's a much more difficult conundrum to solve. We're transplanting a number of organs and a number of structures that actually have to be connected up to the donor recipient. There's a very methodical approach to doing this. We have to maintain the donor tissue, whether that's a whole head or an organ such as the kidneys. We have to maintain it alive, but not alive enough to burn through all of its energy stores to the point where it may actually cease to function normally.
And when it comes to the head, the organ consuming most of our body's energy is the brain, which hoovers up 20% of all the blood coming out of our heart with every single beat.
And so we would have to almost cool the brain down and the head itself puts it into a temporary hibernation, whilst the surgeons go about attaching things like the major arteries that go from the heart and through the neck into the head, attaching the major muscles so that when that transplant occurs, the individual is able to control the muscles that move the head, etc.
Everything we've discussed so far, while difficult, is nonetheless doable. But what we haven't yet touched on is where the prospect of a head transplant becomes a lot less realistic.
That comes with the issue of the spinal cord, really. Nerves are not great at regenerating themselves, particularly the central nervous system, so in the brain and the spinal cord. We are moving towards that from a research perspective and a medical perspective in being able to treat that, and there's some really interesting things that are happening. But the biggest challenge is in our spinal cord, it is segmented. It is broken down into individual sections. They're almost like motorways that take you from a specific place to a specific place that are controlling your movement. So when your brain tells yourself, you know, to put your hand up or to take a step forward, where we're going to encounter really big issues with this proposition is connecting the spinal cord of the body up with the spinal cord of the head in a position where those two corresponding motorways line up properly and give the recipient full control of everything that they've just inherited. And that's a big challenge, and it's one we certainly don't see being solved anytime soon. So we have the technology to make it happen, but the practicalities of it aren't quite there yet.
So there you have it, David. Keep your head up, and maybe we'll get there someday. Thank you very much to Adam Taylor from the University of Lancaster. Next time, we'll be answering this question from listener Bob. He asks, do you ever run out of sperm? Sounds urgent. If you do know the answer or have a question of your own, drop us a line. The email address is chris@thenakedscientists.com or join us on the forums at nakedscientists.com/forum.